जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला गिरीवन दारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला गिरीवन दारी जय यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय जय गोपी जन बाला गिरिवन दारी जय यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राजा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय जय राजा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राजा जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस पार्वजाकचार्य अस्ततर सतसी श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Angaranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada nama om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachwani Nirvi Sesa Sanyavadi Paskya Jadai Satarni. Om Agyanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurdan Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakopa Tarubhyastra Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Pati Tanam Pavane Vaivo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. So is this Hindi section in the back there? Okay. So welcome this morning our Srimad Bhagavatam class. There's also Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is person, Srila Prabhupada would say, the pure devotee, huh? They are person Bhagavatam. Yes. He's getting Prabhupada's spectacles. So, as we said, pure devotee, he's known as Person Bhagavatam. So, for the next few mornings, at least we see the next three mornings, my wife and I are here. We're very happy to be here, and with your mercy of my God brothers and God sisters and all the assembled devotees, we'll be talking about some of the time I spent with Srila Prabhupada. So we'll do that over the next few days. So just for me, Juhu always brings back so many memories that I had with Srila Prabhupada here in Bombay and at Juhu. And of course, none of them were in this building. So whenever I come here into this temple, it always, I'm always so happy to see that how much Srila Prabhupada's hard work manifested in this such a huge, wonderful project, which of course is something that Prabhupada wanted so very much for their lordship, Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari. And without Prabhupada's determination and enthusiasm, none of this would be here today. So in that spirit, we'll go on over the next few days. And by tomorrow morning, I'll tell many nice stories about Srila Prabhupada here in Juhu, both staying in his flat, which was perhaps over there somewhere where Prabhupada stayed in the third floor of his flat when I was here with him back in 75 and 74 and 73. But this morning I wanted to kind of start at the beginning of my association with Srila Prabhupada, if I may. So that happened. I first met the devotees in April of 1971. So at that time, it was April 22nd, and then 1 week later, I moved into a temple. And the temple I moved into very quickly became New Vrindavan. So that's where I started out my Krishna conscious activities and service, was in New Vrindavan under Kirtanananda Swami at the time. And I was in the temple for 3 months. So at that time, 3 months, that was a good amount of time to be in the temple. And then by the temple presidents, it was possible to get initiation. So after 3 months in New Vrindavan, myself and with Kirtanananda Swami and a few other devotees, we drove to New York City. So New York City was the very big temple on the East Coast. It was called Henry Street Temple at that time. And it was July. In fact, it was just around July 22nd of 1971. So it was exactly 3 months. And this was my very first opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada. Of course, when we went into a temple, is all you heard about, besides Krishna, was Prabhupada. At that time, Krishna Book Volume 2 had just come out. So everyone was so excited for the first time. You know, when we go back into this era, you have to understand everything was new for all of us. Just hearing about Krishna in the Western countries, we didn't know anything about Krishna. You know, we didn't understand Krishna, and we didn't know Krishna. So Prabhupada brought Krishna to us. So our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada was just overwhelming. And we would always hear what Prabhupada was doing. And what was Prabhupada always doing? He was always preaching. So he was always traveling around. Just like when I joined, Prabhupada was in Russia. And we know Prabhupada spent 3 days in Russia. 3 days. And how many devotees did Prabhupada make in Russia? One. He initiated one disciple. And Prabhupada, through Prabhupada's potency, when you go to Mayapur, How many devotees are from Russia at the Mayapur festival? 70%, 60% now, thousands, 2,000, 3,000. At their festival in the Black Sea, they have 5,000 devotees come to the festival. Prabhupada spent 3 days in Russia. When I come in, I read that sign there. It says about Srila Prabhupada. It says, a great soul who walked among us. Right? Great soul, I mean, Mahatma, Prabhupada. This was a truly great soul. And that's what he did. He just walked around Russia for 3 days. And he blessed that place. It's a place of pilgrimage. Just think, Prabhupada, how much time did Prabhupada spend in Juhu? Just walking back and forth on that beach there. So many mornings I walked with Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. And we would be lucky to see 20 people. I walked there this morning. It was wall-to-wall people, hundreds and hundreds of people just walking constantly. Prabhupada knew. Anyway, we'll get into that story tomorrow. So I met Prabhupada. It was in July. It was summertime in New York City. It was very hot. And now, for the first time, I was getting to see Prabhupada in the temple room. And because I was with Kirtanananda, who was Prabhupada's first disciple, Prabhupada's first sannyasi, initiated sannyasi, I was his servant at the time. So I got to be right by Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan, even though I was just a young boy from New Vrindavan. I wasn't anything. I wasn't a temple president or Sankirtan devotee or any of these things. But because I was with Kirtanananda, I got to be very close to Prabhupada. His Vyasasan was practically this high off the ground. It wasn't raised so much in New York City at that time. It was just about this high. So by standing by Prabhupada, he was very close. And, of course, I'm sure so many devotees, my God brothers and God sisters, would describe to you different feelings when you first saw Srila Prabhupada. And they're a little difficult to describe because Prabhupada was just always very beautiful. His features, just like you see him sitting here, is very beautiful, and he was so effulgent. And actually, Prabhupada was so effulgent. He was actually very bright. And everything around him kind of just faded away, so that Prabhupada was in color, you know, just like this garland was so colorful. Prabhupada looked so colorful, and his clothing was very bright and colorful, and then everything else was just like black and white. It just didn't have any significance anymore. You just saw Prabhupada. And of course, you would look at his feet, which were very beautiful. You see in so many videos Prabhupada's feet. And the bottoms of Prabhupada's feet, they were actually pink. They were pinkish. I mean, I massaged his feet so many times, so I would see them. And they were very, very soft, just like the top of his foot. His bottom of his feet, his skin was very soft. But then, of course, you would always see Prabhupada's face. And then that meant you would just look into Prabhupada's eyes. And Prabhupada's eyes, when you looked into Prabhupada's eyes, you would just become so happy. Because Prabhupada's eyes were just filled with love of Krishna. And they were always sparkling, because there were always some tears that were there. His eyes were always wet with love. They were anointed with love of God. So when you looked into Prabhupada's eyes, you just saw someone who was so merciful and so compassionate. And he would just draw you in. And somehow or other, he would always look at everyone. Everyone would see his eyes fall on them. And then you would feel benedicted. So these are some of the things when I first saw Prabhupada. And I was just a few feet away from him. And the room in New York, Prabhupada initiated every day. While he was there, he initiated 10 devotees. And this went on for 10 days in a row in New York City. So every day there was a fire sacrifice. And every day he would chant on 10 sets of beads when he would come back into the temple room. So the temple room would be full. It was a small temple room. It was New York City. It was a small, narrow building. And of course there, they had Sri Sri Radha Govinda, very beautiful deities that are there. And there was always, the temple room was always divided in half. Because Prabhupada would sit at the back of the temple room in the center. And then on Prabhupada's right side were all the men. And on Prabhupada's left side were all the women. From front to back, there were men on one side and women on the other. And there would be just a space in the middle that was this wide from back to front. So Prabhupada always had a view of the deities. No one ever stood in that area. It was always open. So then you had women on one side and men on that side. But the room was very full because devotees had come from every temple, Boston Temple, Baltimore, New Vrindavan, so many cities around. And the kirtans, of course, just like this morning, very ecstatic kirtan. So when Prabhupada was present, and he'd be playing kartels, so everyone was dancing and chanting and jumping up and down. And people couldn't even fit in the temple room. So then, as the kirtan ended, of course, then Prabhupada would chant the prayers, just like we have pranali. So everyone gets down on hands and knees. No one would stand, you know, or sit up with their hands folded, but everyone would get down. So now this very crowded temple room became too crowded because you couldn't even hardly fit because you took up so much space. So I was just by Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And we all got down. So I said, after the prayers were finished, I offered obeisances. And I offered very quickly because I just wanted to look into Prabhupada's eyes. I just wanted to see him. So I got down and I offered obeisances. And then I went to sit up. And when I sat up, because the temple room was so crowded, there was nowhere to sit because the devotee behind me, he was still down on his hands and knees. So when I sat on his head. So because I sat on his head, he became disturbed and he pushed me off to get me off of him. So when he pushed me, I fell. And I fell right across Prabhupada's lap on the Vyasasan. And I landed right at Prabhupada's feet with my hands and my head right at his feet. So Prabhupada just looked down and he said, "What is the difficulty?" So that was my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And the very first thing Prabhupada ever said to me was, "What is the difficulty?" So that book now you see, this book that's come out, that's the name of the book. So that's why it's called "What is the Difficulty?" Because Prabhupada said it so many times, thousands of times he would use that expression in different ways. But with me, it was because I fell on him while he was sitting on his Vyasasan. So he just looked and said, "What is the difficulty?" So at that time, the next day was the day I was initiated. And as I said, every day, 10 of us. So I was like the fourth one that day. And the secretary called my name, Bhaktavin, and I went up. And we would have to remember so many things. It was, for us, it was little, because we were in front of Prabhupada, we couldn't remember anything. So even they would always say, "Pay your obeisances, your dandavats, with the left side of your body to the Vyasasan." And some people would offer it with their head straight to Prabhupada and their feet pointing to the deities. And some would do it the other way. And some of us would do it the way we were told. So I went up and I offered dandavats. And then I knew, because Prabhupada always asked, when he gave you initiation, he would always ask you, "What are the regulative principles?" And then he would always say, "In how many rounds?" Or he would say, "Do you chant 16 rounds?" Because you are making that vow, an eternal vow with Srila Prabhupada. So he would always have you speak it. So I sat up and he looked at me and he said, "What are the regulative principles?" And I actually would memorize them, because when you saw Prabhupada, you would just forget everything. You couldn't remember anything. So we would try so hard. So I remember I was sitting in place and I'm going, no illicit sex, no intoxication, over and over and over. So when Prabhupada asked me, I would remember. And I did. I remembered all of them. And then he said, and how many rounds do you chant? And I said, oh, Prabhupada, I said, I'm chanting 20 rounds a day. And he looked at me and he went, Like he was not very impressed with my 20 rounds. Instead of saying I'm doing my 16, I said 20. And then he said, okay. He said, your name is Shrutakirti. And of course, I had never heard that name before. None of us heard so many of the names. And he said, Shrutakirti, he said, is a name of Krishna. And it means one whose activities are world famous. And everybody went, Hari Bol. And then Prabhupada looked at me again and he said, and your name is Shrutakirti Das. And then he handed me my beads. And I took my beads from him. And then I went, offered obeisances. You had to remember, offer obeisances again. And I went back to my seat. And one of my godbrothers was there and he said, what's your name? And I said, I don't know. I couldn't remember. So after the initiation, they would post the names outside Prabhupada's door. His Sanskrit editor, he would write your Karmi name, and then he would write your new name, and it would have diacritic marks. So we would all go to Prabhupada's door, and we would write our name down, and then we would put it in our pocket. So for the next few days, we were learning what our name was, you know. So then I went back to New Vrindavan, and in New Vrindavan, I was milking cows. I was from the city, Philadelphia, big city, 6 million people. But now I was in New Vrindavan milking cows and putting up fences for the cows and just living on a farm. So then I didn't get to see Prabhupada again for another 8 months. And when I saw him next time, it was in Los Angeles, New Dwarka Temple, which was, that was the world headquarters. In 1972, the world headquarters was Los Angeles, New Dwarka Temple. It was the biggest temple in the society. And their beautiful deities, Rukmini, Dwarkadish, Gurnitai, Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev, were all there in New Dwarka. And that deity worship was known as being the best deity worship in ISKCON. So I'm in New Vrindavan. So now to get from New Vrindavan to Los Angeles was 3,000 miles. So we went in a van. It was Kirtananda, myself, Kaladri, and two other devotees. We were in this small van with no windows, and we drove cross-country. It took 5 days of driving to get there, to see Srila Prabhupada. But that's all anyone cared about. In ISKCON, in the 70s, is all anyone ever wanted to do was see Srila Prabhupada. We worked all day and all night to please Prabhupada. That was devotional service, was just to please Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes letters would come to the temple president, and Prabhupada would give his blessings to all the devotees in the temple. So we would all gather and just listen to a letter that Prabhupada had said this, and Prabhupada thanked everyone for going out on Sankirtan and everything. It was all about pleasing Prabhupada. That's all we wanted to do. And to be able to see him. Now imagine, Prabhupada's traveling, right? In 10 years, he traveled around the world 15 times. Just for the benefit of his disciples, and just to encourage them and to enliven them. Because he was always, you know, and he still is, he's the life and soul of all of the devotees. So now I got to go see him in Los Angeles. And again, I'm with Kirtanananda. So even though I'm just a farm boy from New Vrindavan and with no credentials, I was able to go on the morning walk every morning, and I'm on the morning walk with GBCs and sannyasis. You see all those pictures GBCs and sannyasis and temple presidents and sometimes a Sankirtan devotee. And I was there because Kirtanananda always brought me along. So I have him to thank for that all the time. And then what was even more amazing was going in Prabhupada's garden in the afternoon. Every afternoon, Prabhupada would sit in his garden around 5 o'clock as the sun was setting in Los Angeles. And it was very beautiful. The weather was very nice. And as we know here, Prabhupada always liked to sit outside. He didn't care for the buildings, all these big buildings that were being built, and, you know, like the big castles in France and big Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. Prabhupada had these beautiful rooms. But whenever the sun was out, he would just go sit in the grass and talk with the devotees and chant. So in Los Angeles, it was a very small room, just like one of the guest rooms here. That was about the size of his garden. And there was a wall, 6-foot-high wall around it. It was saffron-colored cinder block. And he would sit there with just 5 or 6 devotees, and he would chant, and he would talk, and we would have Krishna book reading. And by Krishna's mercy, I became the Krishna book reader. I read it one day, and then that was it. Every day then, you know, that was the way devotional service worked. As soon as you did something, that was your service, you know, like forever. You know, and if you did something else, then you added that, and you added. So the first day, you know, because they were all the sannyasis, and so they just looked for the littlest person to read, so they handed me the book. So then that was it. Every day I had the Krishna book, and I would get to read Krishna book in the garden to Prabhupada, for all of us. But Prabhupada loved it more than any of us. He would just sit there, and he just loved hearing about Krishna every day. And you would go into the garden, and Prabhupada, sometimes he would just chant on his beads. So we would always just see what he was doing, and then you would just follow. So if he chanted japa, we all chanted japa. And then sometimes he would just stop. One time, you know, and he just looked into the sky, and then he looked at us, and he said, so, he said, what color is Krishna? And whenever he would ask a question, we would always get in a little anxiety, because you figured if you didn't answer properly, he was going to kick you out or something. So everyone would get a little anxious. We all knew Krishna's blue, right? So he's blue. And then he just said, what color is Krishna? He said. So one devotee said, Prabhupada is blue, just like the described in Krishna book, just like a dark blue rain cloud. And Prabhupada went, no, he said. He said he's blue, just like the sky. He pointed up. He said, that's why the sky is blue. He said, it's reflecting Krishna's bodily effulgence. So it's blue. That's Krishna's body, the color of the sky. It's reflecting his body. He said, so when you see the sky, he said, you understand it's Krishna. So he would teach us how to see Krishna. Imagine, you look at the sky. It's the reflection of Krishna's body. So you have to think of Krishna. And then another time he just sat up so straight and he pushed his chest out. And he said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He said, we are proud to be servants of Krishna. Jai. Maharaj, come up here, Maharaj. So he pushed his chest out, very big. He said, we are proud to be servants of Krishna. And he said, everyone is serving. Everyone is serving someone. He said, some people serving their dog. He said, people are serving their wife and family. People are serving their boss. He said, but our pride is that we're serving Krishna. He said, that's our pride. So devotees, we know, we always talk, we're humble, so humble. But we're also proud. We're serving Krishna. He said, that's our pride, that we're serving Krishna. And then he laughed. He said, even if Krishna isn't God, we don't care. He said, we still love Krishna. He said, maybe he is God, maybe he isn't. And everybody's thinking, oh my, maybe he's not God. Now Prabhupada's saying, maybe he's not God. He said, we don't care if he's God or not. He said, we just love Krishna. So that's the highest form of love. So he would sit in a garden and we were just children, some of us 19, 20, 21. And Prabhupada loved being with his disciples so much. And that was also why we had this great desire to serve Prabhupada, because he exhibited that love all the time. He showed so much love for us. I would see him always at the kirtans and at the morning walks. He enjoyed his disciples' association, their company, because we were so enthusiastic to serve. And he just loved seeing us grow in Krishna consciousness. So I'd just be sitting there with this Krishna book that someone gave me. So then he would look, which is also all these things I was learning even before I was Prabhupada's servant. He wouldn't say, okay, now you can read Krishna book. He would just look at you and just like that. And you just knew what it was you were supposed to do. So he never wasted. He didn't waste movements. He didn't waste talking. He would just look. And so then the first day I started reading a story about Krishna and Balaram. And it was a story about Balaram killing a demon. So the story is going along and we're all listening with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's just sitting with his eyes closed. And then it got to the point where Krishna and Balaram, they killed this demon just, always, right? Just one stroke, one hit, whatever. And when it happened, and none of us were prepared for it, we're just listening to this story. But Prabhupada, he was on a different, level. And when Balaram killed the demon, Prabhupada started laughing and laughing so hard. He just laughed and laughed. So everybody, we just started laughing spontaneously with Prabhupada. And he stopped and he said, I like the Cowherd Boys very much. So we all just got filled, became so excited. So then I finished the story. So then that was it. I saw Prabhupada laugh, and I had never seen Prabhupada laugh before. And I knew then I just wanted to see Prabhupada laugh. There was nothing better in the world to me than seeing Prabhupada laughing. So the whole next day, I'm deciding I have to read another story about Krishna killing a demon because I want to see Prabhupada laugh. And I was 20 years old, and all this was very new to me, but I knew immediately what story I wanted to read because I thought it was very funny about this demon, right? So I had picked out my story for the next day. So all through the day, I went on the morning walk, and the day went on, and it came time, and we're in Prabhupada's garden, and I'm sitting there, and I have my hand right on the page for this story, and my heart's beating because I just knew Prabhupada was going to laugh, really laugh. I just knew it. I just felt it. But I'm so excited about telling this story. Jai Shishi Radha Rasa Bihar. And so Prabhupada sat and he's chanting and we're all chanting japa. And then finally He looked at me and he nodded. So as soon as he nodded, I just started reading this story with all the emotion that I could do. And I started reading the story of David Gorilla, because I just thought he was a real funny character, this gorilla, huh? Because he's creating havoc, and description of this big black demon making tidal waves. But then what does he do? He comes upon the fire jugya, and he leaps out from behind the trees and he starts passing urine all over the fire sacrifice. So as I was approaching these lines, that was it. Just when he did that, I thought, that was it. And I said it, and I could barely get the words out of my mouth, and Prabhupada starts laughing and laughing, and he's slapping his knee as he's laughing, his whole body's shaking. And everyone just started laughing, and to her crying. And Prabhupada was leading this. He was laughing more than everyone. And I couldn't even read, and we just stopped and laughed, all sitting there in this garden, which Prabhupada called it Vrindavan. He said it was his favorite place in the whole world. He said it was his garden in Los Angeles. He said it was his favorite place in the entire world. He said because it was Vrindavan, because there were so many tulsi plants there and beautiful trees and banana trees. And he liked it so much, right, that when they did the lotus building in Mayapur and he went up to the roof, what did he tell them? He said, duplicate my garden from Los Angeles. In Mayapur, he wanted his garden from L.A. duplicated on the roof in Mayapur, because he liked that garden in Los Angeles so much. So now here we were in Prabhupada's favorite place, he said, in the whole world. And we're all just laughing with Prabhupada about Krishna and the cowherd boys and the demons. So then I went on and read the rest of the story. So now, for the next day, I forgot to find my story. I just wanted to read stories about demons. Now we get into the Prabhupada's garden and we sit down. And as soon as we sit down, before I had a time to do anything, Prabhupada looked at me and said, read. So now I wanted to find another story with a demon in it. So I start going through the pages, and Prabhupada said, no, he said, read anywhere. He said, Krishna is like a sweet ball. He said, wherever you bite, it's sweet. So then I just went to the next story and started reading. So this went on every day for a week. I got to go on the morning walks and go in the garden. And after the morning walks, Prabhupada would go back into his... He had this stairway from outside that went up to his quarters. He would drive the car up from his walk, and he would get out, and they opened these big doors to a sanctuary, and there was a corridor and these nice stairs that went up. So the one day Prabhupada got out and he walked in and started walking up the stairs, and there were like 8 or 10 of us, and we're just standing there with our hands folded, just looking at Prabhupada, you know. And he'd go up slowly. And he stopped. He went up 5 steps and he stopped. And he looked right at me. And he smiled. And this was the first smile I saw. Prabhupada looked right at me and he smiled real big. And he said, oh, he said, Sutta Goswami. And then he just continued walking up the stairs. So now he recognized I was reading Krishna book. So now he addressed me as Sutta Goswami. And then he just walked up the stairs. So then my life was complete. So then another day he'd be walking up the stairs, and here we were, children, you know. And he had his cane. Oh, he stopped, and again he looked at all us young boys, you know. And he looked and he said, I used to run up these stairs. He said, but now I can't run anymore. He said, my desire to run hasn't changed. He said, but this body won't run up the stairs. And he's looking at all, we were all kids, you know. And he smiled and he just kept walking up the stairs. But then I always remember here at Juhu, when he would take that morning walk on the beach, and Prabhupada would go out there and turn left, and he would walk and walk and walk. And some of his disciples, some of his senior disciples and GBCs and sannyasis, they wouldn't even go on the morning walk because it was too long. Because, and myself, I know, you know, I had to be there. And like Paramahamsa, myself, and Prabhupada would walk. And there were all the different landmarks that we would see on the beach. Because sometimes he would pass one spot and he would turn around and come back. But in other days, he would just keep going. And we'd say, you know, when is he going to turn around, you know, because he had more energy than any of us. So you would think, well, he hasn't turned around here, and then he would go another 10 minutes, and you think, when's Prabhupada turning around? So, but eventually he would turn around and then walk all the way back. So he had more energy than most of us. Hari Kesh, he told that when he would go on the walks, and then Prabhupada would come back after the walk, and then he would give class. And then he would have breakfast. So after breakfast, Hari Kesh, he would just go to bed from the morning walk because it was so tiring, you know. So Prabhupada never seemed to tire. So that was the experience in Los Angeles. And then one day Kirtanananda brought us upstairs, myself and Kaladri, and we got Prabhupada's personal darshan. And now again, remember, gave me my name, just it was about 8 months before. So we went in the room, and all I remember was a white tile floor. It was very bright white and very clean, and I was just sweating to be in front of Prabhupada, because this wasn't his garden, this was Prabhupada's room. And it felt so special, Prabhupada's room there. And we offered obeisances. And again, Prabhupada looked right at me. And he said, oh, he said, what is your name? And I couldn't remember my name. It was 8 months now, and nothing came out of my mouth. And I remember hearing Kirtanananda say, Shrutakirti, Prabhupada, is Shrutakirti in Kaladri. And Prabhupada looked at us and smiled and said, very nice brahmacharis, he said. So we were all happy. And then Nanda Kumar came in with Prabhupada's breakfast plate. Now he was Prabhupada's servant. And I got another one of my lessons from Prabhupada that day. And he came in with his plate and he put it down on the table. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, why weren't you at class? And Nanda Kumar said, oh, I was preparing your breakfast, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, anyone can cut fruit. He said, you have to be at class every day. He said, when I give class, he said, you have to be sitting there. And Nanda Kumar said something else, how he just wanted to make sure his breakfast. And Prabhupada said, you have to be at class every day. And I thought, Prabhupada was heavy. So then he put his plate down, and Prabhupada immediately walked right from his behind his desk, and he sat down. He would just sit on the floor on a little straw mat, and his plate was on a raised table, just choky, just a few inches. And Prabhupada sat down, and he grabbed some fruit, and he looked at us. So we went over, and he handed myself a piece of fruit, and Kaladri a piece of fruit, and Kirtanananda a piece of fruit. And then he said, now you can go. And he sat and took prasadam alone. And that's what he would always do when there were people in the room. He would always give you a little prasadam and say, now go. And then he would honor prasadam so nicely. He would take prasadam. So then I got my Brahmin initiation, and then I left Los Angeles and went back to New Vrindavan and continued my service. Then I went into the kitchen in New Vrindavan. So I became the head in charge of the kitchen. So I had to do everything because there was no one under me. So I got to cook all the offerings in Bahulaban for the deities. And that went on. Now that was May of 1972. And New Vrindavan was a farm. It was very austere, as Maharaj could tell you. He was in the Vrindavan farm. And there was, in the house, there was no running water at all. There were no bathrooms. The kitchen had no running water. You had to go outside to the well to collect the water to cook. And there was a wood-burning stove, so we cooked on wood. We were it was like being in India. It was quite austere. So then the next time I got to see Prabhupada was when he came to New Vrindavan for the big Janmashtami festival in 1972. And now all of a sudden everything changed, because now I was at my home temple. So Prabhupada was there for over a week, and every day he would give Bhagavatam class in Govardhan Hill, which was up on this nice hill. And every day he would go on the morning walk. And every day I didn't get to see him, because I was in the kitchen from 4 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. So I was so excited for when he was coming, but I didn't get to see him at all. And there were several hundred devotees there. So now I had assistants cooking in the kitchen. And one of my assistants was a brahmachari. Some of you might know him. His name was Radhanath Das Brahmachari. He was rolling chapatis in the kitchen. And another one was Bir Krishna Das Adhikari. He was cutting vegetables. So we were all in the kitchen working. And sometimes people would come in and say, "Oh, did you hear Prabhupada's class? It was so wonderful." And I'd say, "No, I didn't hear his class. I'm in the kitchen all day, you know." So I was actually feeling a lot of separation. Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan and I didn't see him. I was cooking. And we were all cooking all day, for making big pots of khichdi and hundreds of chapatis. And that went on the whole time Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan. And then the night before Prabhupada left, it was 9 o'clock at night, and I was in the kitchen making the milk sweets for the next day. And Kirtananda came and with his cane, hobbled in, and he said, "So Sruta Kirti," he said, "do you want to be Prabhupada's servant?" And that was it. Of course I said yes. And then he said, "Okay." He said, "You'll leave with him tomorrow morning." I said, "Okay." And he said, "I told Prabhupada that you'll be the best servant he ever had." He said, "Because you'll never leave him." I said, "Yes, Maharaj." So the next morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, Kirtanananda took me to Madhuban farm, which was another farmhouse just by Bahulaban. And Prabhupada was in a little cottage, a rancher, just one story building. And he was sitting behind his desk. It was 5 in the morning. It was still dark out, and Prabhupada would just have his light on. That's the light he would use to translate from temple to temple. And just myself and Kirtananda went, and we offered obeisances. And the room was dark, except for that light. And now Prabhupada was very different. He seemed so grave. And he brought me in and he said, "Prabhupada, this is Sruta Kirti. He's going to be your servant." And Prabhupada just looked at me and didn't say anything, just nodded. And then he said, "Sruta Kirti's," he said, "he's a very good cook." He said, "but he doesn't know how to massage." And Prabhupada said, "Anyone can massage." And then Prabhupada got up. And he grabbed his lota. And he just looked at me. He said, "Follow me." And he walked out the door. And I followed him. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I just followed him out the door. And we went about 10 meters. And he said, "Stop, wait here." So I stopped. And I waited. And Prabhupada went another 10 meters behind some bushes and trees and things with his lota. And after a few minutes, he came back and he handed me his lota. And he said, wash it. He went like that. He said, wash it with dirt and water. And he just handed it to me. And then he walked into his back into his room. So I went and I washed it out. And I went back and I put it down on the floor. So that was my first service to Prabhupada, was cleaning his lota after he went and passed. So then I could understand I was Prabhupada's menial servant. That was my very first service. So then that was it. Within an hour, I got in the car and I'm sitting beside Prabhupada as his servant now. And the car went to Pittsburgh. And Shyama Sundar, myself, Prabhupada, were in this car. And the only thing I know is when Prabhupada rings his bell, you go in his room. That's the only thing I was ever told. There was no, his servant wasn't there anymore. He stayed in Los Angeles. So no one said anything except Shyama Sundar said, when Prabhupada rings his bell, your job is to go in. I said, yes, okay. So we get to Pittsburgh and Prabhupada has his breakfast. Somebody brings him breakfast and I'm sitting in the next room. It was Prabhupada's bedroom. I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I'm just sitting in the bedroom and I'm, of course, very nervous. And Prabhupada has a suitcase and I'm looking through his suitcase and I see a few sets of cloth and a towel, a sweater, and this funny looking cooker, this brass cooker, which I have no idea what that was about, but it was this big, you know, and I'm sitting there just waiting, and I heard a bell. It was the first time I heard a bell. So immediately it went off in my head, and I ran into Prabhupada's room, and I offered obeisances, and I sat up, and Prabhupada looked at me, and he just smiled, and I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, nothing. He said, I just wanted to see how fast you were. So that was my test. He rang the bell and I answered. So, and I passed. I said, is that all? He said, yes, that's all. I said, should I go? He said, yes, you can go. So he just wanted to see how fast I was when he rang the bell. And then immediately I felt happy and I felt better. Prabhupada put me at ease on my first day, my first official day as his servant. So that was the bell test. So we'll stop here this morning. If anyone has any questions, comments, we'll go on tomorrow. We'll start talking about Juhu tomorrow since we only have a few days. Prabhupada and Juhu. Yes, Maharaj.
I just, when you asked the question, it came to me, how Narada became a great devotee of the Lord by serving the Bhaktivedantas. So, like you observed Prabhupada, so what is the result of becoming, how one can be like a Narada or serving the Bhaktivedantas? What I wanted to know, the blessings, like Narada blessed by the Bhaktivedantas, right?
the more I travel around, the more I realize we're all serving Prabhupada, you know. Everyone I see, I realize that none of us are here without Prabhupada's mercy, without the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. No one can be anywhere doing devotional service. I started out, and it's why I did start out that way, saying when I first came, Prabhupada was in Russia. Huh? For 3 days, he was in Russia. And he made one disciple. But what Prabhupada did in Russia It was very amazing. I mean, and I see that, how these disciples have literally just pop out of the ground from where Prabhupada walked, where Prabhupada spoke. We have no idea how, just like all you people here, you don't know if you saw Prabhupada or you heard or Prabhupada glanced upon you previously, what it is that has brought us to Krishna consciousness. Of course, we know his books in his book form, you know, so many ways. But I really felt that in Russia because I went to Red Square because Prabhupada would walk. That's where he walked, in Red Square. And I just thought Prabhupada just benedicted all of these people by his presence. And, you know, we have that benediction of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, there's no way for myself, I think for any of us, to be able to perform devotional service. And you know, people come and see these deities here, Radha Rasa Bihari, that Prabhupada fought for. I could tell you so many stories. I remember when I first became Prabhupada's servant, he was getting letters. It was in Los Angeles. He was getting letters and telegrams about the difficulties that were going on with this property. And I remember Prabhupada saying that he would get headaches, he would say. Huh? He said it would give him a big headache, his disciples, because they couldn't manage properly. They just couldn't deal with it. And I was sitting in my servant quarters, which was down the end of the hall, and Prabhupada was walking. He was pacing back and forth with his hand in his bead bag. And he would chant out loud. And he would walk around. He was so concerned for these deities here, for Radha Rasa Bihari, that he had placed them here. And he would walk around and he stopped. And I was sitting in the room and he just looked at me. He said, when you're in anxiety, he said, chant very loudly on your beads. But he had no anxiety for himself. But he had anxiety. He didn't want to see anything happen to their lordships here. He said, but that kind of anxiety, he said, that's okay. He said, we accept that anxiety for Krishna. And he did. You know, I feel so fortunate to be here. I never, you know, before I came to that jubilee a few years ago, I had never seen this temple. Is all I saw was that little that little place, the deities with the corrugated tin roof over their heads. That was my only experience in Juhu. Prabhupada saw all of this. You know, he knew all of this, what was happening. But I had no such vision. But Prabhupada, alone by his determination, everything manifest. And that's true of all of us. That's not buildings. It's true of us. We're not here except for Prabhupada's desire. You know, as servants of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, we don't even exist except for Prabhupada's strong desire. You know, and it was that way when he was here. He said the same thing in New Dwarka. Because of that same letter he had gotten, he said, you Westerners, he said, my Western disciples, he said, you're so fallen. He said, and taken so much intoxication, so much illicit sex life. He said, if it wasn't for the chanting of Hare Krishna, he said, you couldn't accomplish anything. But the fact was, it wasn't even our chanting, it was Prabhupada's chanting. It was all Prabhupada's desire. If it wasn't for his desire and his empowering us, nothing would have, but everything happened. So many things, of course, that happened, that so many temples were opened, this temple by Prabhupada's disciples. But it was all Prabhupada's desire. And it still is Prabhupada's desire. And the more we realize that, the more any devotee can do. When we realize that I'm not doing anything, I'll tell because it's getting late, just one more short to explain. It was in Dallas, and I was Prabhupada's disciple for days, going on the morning walk now as his servant, just for days. And on the morning walk, everyone wanted to ask Prabhupada a question or say an answer, but they would be afraid so often, you know. But anyway, this one devotee on the whole walk, but he never asked a question. So now Prabhupada's getting into his car, and I'm holding the door waiting to shut the car, and he said, Prabhupada, he said, how do I become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said one word. Prabhupada was so expert in the situation. He didn't even have to say a sentence. And Prabhupada always answered our questions, no matter how foolish. He said, "It's my duty is to answer your questions." So Prabhupada answered him in one word. And then I closed the door, got in, and Prabhupada left. So what was the one word? It wasn't chant. I've already said it. I just said it. Desire is so perfect. It's all we can do is desire to serve Prabhupada. It's all we can do. Desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. And if we get rid of all these other desires, because we're always desiring, right? We desire so many things. But the desire is to serve Srila Prabhupada purely. And then you can do so much. But if it's mixed with so many other desires, then the potency won't be there. It's finished. It can't be mixed with anything else. But if you have that one desire to serve purely, then you can do amazing things, always knowing that it's Prabhupada that's doing it. Yeah? So we'll stop there today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. On behalf of the devotees of Hare Krishna land, I would like to welcome His Grace Jananivas Prabhu. Also, we welcome His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Also, His Grace Soma Prabhu.